Amen. You may be seated. When you read the New Testament, especially the letters of the Apostle Paul, there are three little words that keep coming into play time and time again. They keep popping up all over the place. And they're great words. They're dynamic words. They're powerful words. And I might ask, they are life-changing words, because they're words of what we're all about. They are the words faith, hope, and love. Often you find them clustered together in scripture passages. One that I have before me right now, Colossians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, where Paul says, "We have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven." And another one found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Where Paul writes these words, he says, "We continually remember before our God and Father your work that's produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in the Lord." All three of those words are together in the same verse. And of course, the most well-known, one of the most beautiful verses all found in the New Testament, found in the chapter of love that we call 1 Corinthians chapter 13. "And now these three remain." How does it go? Faith, hope, and love. "But the greatest of these is what?" Love. Greatest of these is love. These are three words. Three little words. So, trying to figure out how to give a title to my series of messages that I'm going to do in the next couple of weeks, I decided to call this series Three Little Words. Three Little Words. And those little words are faith, hope, and love. We're going to deal with each one of them every Sunday. This morning we want to deal with what I call congruent faith. I want to talk about faith this morning. It's interesting that the video that came on first this morning was talking about faith. That kind of set the tone for the entire service, and that was not by accident. I think the Lord planted that. So, the word faith, hope, and love. And regardless of the many areas in life in which you excel, you want to excel most in these qualities. As a Christian, that's what I want to do. I want to be a person of faith. I want to be a person of hope, and I want to be a person of love. You think we need those qualities in people these days? We sure do. I may have watched the news the last couple of days. Well, we need them, don't we? Desperately. And for this reason, today we're beginning this series called Three Little Words, and I want us to look at each one in particular. And so today we're looking at the word faith. And it begins by saying something that might surprise you. It may, and it may not surprise you. And I know many believers who pray often for God to give them more faith. How many have ever prayed that, "Lord, give me more faith"? I have. We all have. And your reasoning is, if you have more faith, well, you can believe God for greater things. If you have more faith, you can see great things happen. If you have more faith, then maybe you might even see a miracle take place. The fact is, however, that more is not the issue. More faith is not the issue. You don't need more faith. You just need congruent faith. Now, what in the world do you mean by congruent faith? We just need congruent faith. We need to learn to use effectively the faith that we have already been given. That's what congruent faith is. The fact is, we have faith. If you have Christ, you have faith. Because you cannot know God without faith. You cannot have a relationship with Jesus Christ without faith. So you have faith. But you need to learn how to use your faith in a congruent way or an effective way. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, Paul says that we have each been given a measure of faith. Some people's faith would be weak. Some people's faith is strong. I know people with very weak faith. I know people that have a very strong faith. There are people here this morning that have a strong faith. And that's great. But we've all been given a measure of faith. The question is, how do we use that faith? How do we appropriate it? How do we live it out in a world that's hostile to the gospel? In a world that's hostile to Christianity, in a world that's very difficult to live out our faith. How do we live it out? In Luke chapter 17, the disciples made the same request that many of us have made. And we've been there, we've done that, and we can identify right here with the disciples. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. And so, I'm asking that we would pray that prayer ourselves. That we would ask God to increase our faith. Do you think He can do it? I believe He can. Increase our faith, Lord. And Jesus responded by saying, in effect, that it's not that you need more faith, it's that you need to use it more effectively, the faith that you've been given. So, kind of makes you scratch your head a little bit and wonder what Jesus really means. And he says here in verse 6, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, and a mustard seed is very, very small. In fact, you can hardly even see it. It's so small you almost need a microscope. If you have faith as small as that little tiny mustard seed, then you can say to this mulberry tree, where Jesus was standing with his disciples, he said, be uprooted and be planted in the sea and it will obey you. Wow, that's a tall order, isn't it? That's a strong order. It's not that you need to increase your faith. It's that you need how to learn how to use that faith. How to live out that faith in your daily life. You don't need to grow your faith. As in, get more faith, you need to grow in your faith. And there is a difference. Learn how to take the faith you've already been given and put it into practice. That's where we have the most difficulty as Christians today. Today we'll just look at a couple of statements that Jesus made about faith. And I want us to talk about three ways we can get our faith moving in the right direction. Have you ever felt like your faith is sort of stale and stagnant and that you just don't seem to be going anywhere? That you just don't seem to be growing in your Christian walk and your relationship with God? Well, maybe this is something we all need to take to heart today. Three things that I think are important for us to remember. We need to make three right choices about growing our faith. Growing our faith. The first one is this, that we need to choose the right side. Now, what do I mean by that? The fact is, you're already exercising your faith in several different areas in your life. You are, whether you know it or not. The question is your faith being placed in the right side? Is it being placed in the right things? In each and every situation that you face, does your faith back a winning philosophy or a losing philosophy? And those are kind of deep pondering questions that are, you know, every once in a while we need to do a little bit of self-inventory on. When you invest in the stock market, or if anybody does, I don't know, the only way I do it, or I've done it was with my 401k. Whenever you buy a stock, you buy it with the idea that it will increase in its value, right? Hoping that's the way it's going to go, that it's going to increase in value over time. It's not going to happen over time because there could be some dips in the economy. There could be some lulls. There could be some difficult times. But the problem is that you're buying it from someone who's convinced the very opposite, that this stock may go down in value, but if you can't, but both of you can't be right. So how do you decide if it's time to buy, or how do you decide it's time to sell? Unless you want to go broke, you need to make the right choice. And sometimes you got to be very intentional and very deliberate. My point isn't about how to choose the right stock, because, you know, we didn't bring that into this world with us, did we? And we're certainly not going to take it out of this world with us. My point is that every day we face, you know, we face sort of a David and Goliath type scenario. Every day we face these buy and sell opportunities in our Christian lives. Every day we find ourselves in situations where we have to choose sides, where we have to take a stand, where we have to say, I believe this for me is the right choice to make, and I'm willing to stake my future on it no matter what. Do I believe that the sins of my past have the power to destroy my present and my future, for example? Or do I believe that God's mercy is greater than my sin? That's what it comes down to. And which side will I choose? Do I believe in the power of sickness, or do I believe that God has the power to heal? Do I believe that obedience today will be worth it in the years to come? Or do I believe that I'll be happier if I do whatever I want, whenever I want? Which side will I choose? What will I do? All day and every day you make countless choices that are based on faith. When it really comes down to it, that's exactly what you do. When I got in the car this morning, I had faith to believe that I was going to get here. It's 34.8 miles from my house to here. And along the way, I have to be watching out for other drivers. I have to be watching out for this and that. State troopers, you name it. I have to be watching out for it. I don't drive fast. I just drive the legal speed limit. Sometimes a little bit over, though. Not much. I have to be watching for those things. I have to make choices. I have to believe that I'm going to get from point A to point B, and I'm going to do it in a timely fashion and in a safe fashion. I have to believe it's going to happen. I believe that if something doesn't go right, then I'm going to have to take the proper steps in making it right. But the question is, you know, as I put my faith into action every day, even the simple things, do I always make the right choices? Sometimes I make dumb choices. Sometimes I make stupid mistakes. That's what they really come down to. Sometimes I make choices that are not good for myself, and choices that are not good for other people. Sometimes I say things that are not good for myself or for other people. Sometimes, just even jokingly, I can mess things up. Sometimes I'm my own worst enemy. Anybody identify with that? I think we can. You see, putting our faith into practice means that we can make a deliberate decision to choose one side over the other, one worldview over another. But let's face it, the worldview that you have in your mind right now and what's happening during this crazy election cycle is important. It's a worldview. Is that worldview given to you on the basis of Scripture, on the basis of faith, or is it given to you on the basis of hearsay and what is popular opinion? Popular opinion is not always right. The way the world flows is not always the right way. What God says is what we need to wrap our minds around. What God says is true, we need to appropriate. We need to live out. This election, I really don't know who I'm going to vote for because things are just so messed up. And many, so many are in the same boat. Some people just not going to vote. But I believe I have to vote. I believe it's important to vote. And as a Christian citizen, I believe that that's a necessity. I will be obeying God by voting, even though I don't like who I'm voting for. You see, we point our faith in God's direction, and we let our behavior follow. That's what we're talking about here in this matter of faith. When things don't go your way, you can put your faith in the idea that your world is falling apart, or you can put your faith in the idea that God has it under control. One or two. I believe that God has it under control. God has this world under control. I believe that God is sovereign. No matter how messed up it is, no matter how tough it is, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how crazy it is right now, I believe God's still in control. I really believe that. And every time we're confronted with a David and Goliath buy or sell or choice to make, whether it's elections or whatever it might be, it's time to reaffirm our faith in God and to put our trust in Him. The second right choice we need to make is this, in this matter of congruent faith, that we need to choose the right words, the right words. The Bible has so much to say about the way we choose the words we use that I could preach on this subject all year and still not cover everything. The words you speak matter. Did you know that? They matter a lot, especially when it comes to faith, especially when it comes to this idea of living out our faith. You see, Jesus said to his disciples, he said this, he said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it will obey you. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed. The Gospel of Mark, when Jesus is teaching a similar lesson about faith, and I'm quoting from the King James Version. Every once in a while, I love the King James, and I read some of the verses out of the King James, and it makes more sense than any other translation to me at the time. But it says this in Mark 11:23 from the King James. It says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now that's old King James right there. But I love that phrase. That phrase in this verse that says this. He shall have whatsoever he saith. He shall have whatsoever he saith. It's so interesting that saying it is part of the equation. Now Jesus didn't tell his disciples that if you merely have faith, then mountains will automatically move. He didn't say that. He didn't say that miracles would automatically take place and that trees will automatically be uprooted and everything will automatically fall in place just because you have faith in your heart. Doesn't mean that necessarily. No, he said that if you believe it in your heart and if you speak it out loud, you will have what you say. If you believe it in your heart and you speak it out loud, you will have what you say. Now, I know that sounds a little bit tough to wrap our hearts and minds around. But let me give you an example. When King David walked into the battlefield to face the Philistine giant, Goliath, when he saw that big, ugly giant before him, he ignored all the taunts and the sneers of the enemy. He ignored all of that. And instead, he spoke a bold word of faith when he faced that big, ugly bully of a giant. And this is what he said. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel 17, 45 to 47. 1 Samuel 17, 45 to 47. He says this, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. The day of the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head." Wow. Doesn't sound very pretty, does it? "Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." And then the last part of that, it says this, "All those gathered here will know, they will know, that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, that the battle is the Lord's, and will give it all of you into our hands." Battle is the Lord's. It's not ours. It's His. The battle is not ours. The battle is the Lord's. So let me ask you a question. And it's an important question. Let me ask you this question. How do you speak to your giant? When there is a giant before you, no matter what it is, it could be a financial giant. It could be a health-related giant. It could be a relationship issue giant. When there is a giant before you, how do you speak to your mountain? How do you speak to it? How do you speak to your problems? And after you've settled the question of which side you're on, do you believe that God is God? And that do you believe that Goliath is God? After you've settled this question and made your choice, then it's time to speak up. If your God is God, who He says He is, if He is your Lord, your God, your Redeemer, your King, your Sustainer, the one who guides you, the one who directs you, the one who loves your soul, if He is who He says He is, are you willing to speak up? Or if Goliath is God, then I guess it's time to speak God's word into the situation. You see, I believe that's definitely a part of faith, speaking God's word into the situation. It's time to make the words you say congruent with the faith you proclaim. It's important. For example, fear. Yeah, all of us have fear. All of us have problems with this area of fear. You know, what if? You know, what if this happens? What if I get sick? What if my world collapses from under me? This whole area of fear. You need to speak these words. "I will not play games with you anymore, Mr. Fear. I will not play games with you. Be thou removed and be thou cast into the depths of the sea." You got to speak it. Your past. Whatever may come from your past. And so when you deal with your past and when you look at all the issues of your past, you need to say, "Mr. Past, you come at me with sword and spear and guilt and shame, but today I feed you to the birds of the air and I cast you into the depths of the sea. because I've been washed, I've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and my sins have been cast into the sea, and I am a new creature in Christ. Therefore, I will not fear with my past. And so off with you, past, Mr. Past. Off with your head, Mr. Past. Good riddance, Mr. Past. See what I'm saying? Anger and sickness and worry and debt, whatever it is, laziness, greed, every sin attempting to entangle me and get me all wrapped up, get me all confused. You may have defeated me before, but this is a battle you're ultimately bound to lose, because you cannot get any bigger, and I can, through the presence and the power of God in my life, through His Son, Jesus Christ, I have been made more than a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror because of Him who loves me and Him who strengthens me. Now, there's more than to living out your life of faith than just speaking words of faith. But I want you to know that there's never less. I want you to live a life of faith, speaking in faith. You see, faith is not meant to be kept to yourself. We're to speak it out. We're to say it. We're to declare it, that we're more than conquerors because of who Christ is in our lives. And here's the third thing. Not only do we need to choose the right words, but we need to choose the right path to follow when it comes to this whole matter of congruent faith. In this passage from the Gospel of Luke, before Jesus taught his disciples about the power of the mustard seed faith, he talked about what kind of influence we might have on others. And he talked about what our witness would be, and about forgiveness and everything else. And after he told his disciples about this mustard seed faith, he talked to them about serving God, not with an attitude of entitlement, but with an attitude of humility. You see, we think many times that we are entitled. We're entitled to nothing. You only come to God in humility. So as he talked about faith, he also talked about holiness. He talked about obedience. He talked about forgiveness. That's because faith is not a standalone quality. I read that this week from a book that I've been reading through. And it's an old classic by Bruce Myers on faith. And he says that. He says that faith is not a standalone quality. It's not. To be a person of great faith and to harbor unforgiveness and ill will towards others, neither can you be full of pride and ego and selfish ambition and expect great things to happen because you think you're exercising your faith. That's because faith must be integrated in every part of your life. It's who we are. It's our DNA, it's our makeup. For faith to be effective, it must be congruent, or to run parallel, if you will, to every area of your life. And here's something that will help you to make an important distinction about faith. That Greek word faith, in the Greek, the word faith is translated pistis. It's also translated faithfulness, because the early Christian writers saw faith and faithfulness as walking hand in hand. In other words, if you really believe something, it will be reflected in the way you live. In the early days of the New Testament, especially in the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews was written in an era where Christians were being persecuted, and Christians were being martyred because of their faith. They were being slaughtered all over the place. And you come down to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, which is the Faith Hall of Fame, and you see all those names that have been mentioned, Enoch and Abraham and and Samuel and everybody else. They all lived by faith. And it was by faith they were accounted righteous. It was by faith they were made righteous. And so they saw that faith would be reflected in the way they lived their lives. That's congruent faith. And that's why James said, I will show you my faith by what I do. That faith without works is dead. That not only are we to be hearers of the word, but we are to be doers of the word, and we're to live that life out in our faith exercising day by day. So we've already been given a measure of faith. Faith. Paul said, and it takes, to see great things happen is faith the size of a tiny mustard seed. What a beautiful image. So it's not that we need more faith. It may be that we may need to think of more faithfulness. That's the issue. If you want to see your faith come alive, if you want to see it really sparkle, it may be that you need to take a serious look at what you really believe. Asking yourself this, are my words and my thoughts and my actions congruent with what I profess to believe? You see, the world is watching you right now. Anybody who names the name of Jesus, they're watching. This world is watching. I get watched every day. And that's why I think my experience working in the retail world for 8 years was one of the best things in my life, because I came to realize that, hey, faith, in order to be lived out, you got to be out there. And people were watching me. Every word I spoke, every action I took, people are watching you right now. Do I claim to believe one thing is true and act in another way? Do I claim to say one thing and do another? Or is my faith congruent? Here's the principle to remember. This is what I want to encourage you to take home with you today and to mark it down, even to write it down. That mountain-moving faith happens when your thoughts, your words, and your deeds line up with what you profess to believe. They've got to line up. That's non-negotiable. That's congruent faith. It's the kind that moves mountains. Incongruent faith is the kind of faith that gets you nowhere. It's the kind of faith where people say, here's someone who says one thing and does another. Incongruent faith is the kind of faith that says, that guy is a hypocrite because he doesn't live out what he professes to believe. But when your thoughts and your words and your deeds line up with what you profess to believe, you can say to this mountain, whatever mountain is before you today, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the utter depths of the sea. That's what you can do. And you shall have whatsoever you sayeth, according to that promise in God's word. You shall have it. You shall have it. Now, I know that puts the pressure on, doesn't it? And my desire is not to put everybody through a guilt trip, but to help us re-examine our faith. And to ask ourselves, is it a feel-good faith? There's lots of feel-good stuff out there. I mean, you can walk into a church and feel good because of the music. You can be together with other Christians and feel good. It's not necessarily feeling good. It's following Jesus. Most of the time, following Jesus means hard choices and sometimes difficult times. Let's pray. Lord God, help us to have congruent faith, kind of faith that the world will take notice of, and the kind of faith, Lord, that's pleasing to you. Help us not to mess around with just one word, but to live our faith out day by day in a way that's pleasing to you. Lord, for this we need your help, because we can't do it on our own. We can't do it in our own strength. And that's why we call upon you today. So Lord, as the disciples 2,000 years ago called out to you, we also call out to you. And we cry out, increase our faith, O God. Increase it and help us to use it congruently for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Faith is a victory, amen? So we're going to sing about it.